Yo, what's up? Welcome back to Moving Forward, the podcast where we give young people a voice and the opportunity to speak on their experiences and ambitions. Now, I know there hasn't been an upload for the last 2 weeks, but we're coming back with a bang because we've got a long-awaited guest, one of my longest friends in the scheme of things, Jacob Wright. Yes, Jacob, how are you?
I'm not too shabby, Caleb. How are you?
I'm doing great. Not seen you genuinely, and I say this about a few people, but I haven't seen you in a long, long time.
I
I
know
don't
it's
think, anyway.
yeah, it's been a while, hasn't it?
And yeah, since then, you've literally adapted a completely new accent. We're living in Liverpool.
Well, I've heard family have said a couple of things, friends. Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, obviously, I just had to point that out at the start of the episode.
Yeah, I am from Blackpool, but yeah, I'm not Scouse, and I never will be.
Yeah, well, like you say, Scouse has thought it's a bit more of a twang. We probably see it as more of a full-on accent. But
I've been taken as a wool before, so like from the Wirral, but I'm not gonna pretend like I am. I'm not. I'm proud to be from Blackpool.
really?
However, what state it is.
Yeah, okay, so we're going to talk about what you're sort of doing at uni, because now, obviously, you're a year above me, third year uni student. We're into that third year now. So talk me through what you're studying and how it's been across the last 2 years, let's say.
Yeah, so I'm doing film and TV production, not at one of the mainstream unis. It's more of an independent one. But they are making moves. We've just had a massive studio been built in for our course in particular, because there's only five courses. I'm on film and TV production, but there's acting, musical theatre, music and gaming. And yeah, so I want to be a writer, but obviously I'm happy to get skills in whatever I need, really. I love my camera work. I love editing. Editing I picked up in college, actually. Yeah, right now I was talking about branding content, which will be applicable when we leave and we're having to freelance, because we were even discussing before, when it comes to creative industries, uni is oftentimes just a tick. It's not, you're not guaranteed anything. I will leave with a degree and nothing else. I'll have to make my own connections. They do what they can to give us opportunities, but yeah, so it's first year was quite slow paced. I think we all expected it to pick up a lot in second year. It picked up. It did pick up. And even now, we're only 2 months in, of the first term. So we're just hoping that it picks up a lot more, because we want to go out with a bang, kind of thing.
Yeah, so I mean, how long have you got left then now? What is it,
We
six
finish
months?
in, yeah, but we finish, I don't want to say April. We're done in May,
Yeah, I
so
mean, is that daunting? Because I mean, I know you're the year above me, but it feels like it's come around pretty quick.
oh, it's
Do you
absolutely
feel
it,
like
no, it's flown by. It
that?
it's absolutely crazy, and there's not a single person in my life who I've met during these last 2 years who has said, "Oh, it's really dragged." No, it's gone by in the blink of an eye, and
Do you
it.
think that's mainly because of the people who've made it a better experience? Because the course is the course, but living in the city brings so many new people.
I'm not sure. I think it is because it's a city. I've always said, now I'm away from town. When I was in town, everything seemed to move a lot quicker. This summer, I realized slowed down quite a bit compared to first year summer, but that's because I'm not in the center. It's a chill neighborhood, whereas when I was back where I was, right next to the Lime Street station, and you're constantly rushing about because the world is literally passing you by every time you link, and it is crazy. Yeah.
Would you say that's given you more of a, I don't know, determination to get things done because it seems so busy around you? Or do uni students, maybe in busy cities like Liverpool, sort of say, let's take a step back. We've got the 3 years to do what we need to do. We don't need to be that driven other than with our coursework.
I think there's them two kinds of people. There's the people who are like me and find a lot of pressure that comes with the fast-paced environment, because I like being productive and I like doing things with my day and making sure I'm at the top of my game, essentially. But with that, it can be really irritating when the days do pass as quick as they do, and you don't even really get to appreciate the weekend, because before you know it, you're back at uni. And I work, a lot, most people that I'm surrounded by work, and so you don't really get a chance to sit back.
Yeah,
But we all reminisce often about first year, because even though we had jobs in first year, uni was on the backbone, more so for me, because I was still putting in the work. I wasn't doing bare minimum, I was doing my best, but because I think because I only really needed to kind of, I just wanted to take it all in, basically.
And wait, that's, I guess if there is a time, then that would be the time to do it.
But then again, you have the other kind of people that really are overwhelmed by the fast-paced environment, or they thrive and they love it. They love the days passing by as quick as they do because they want uni to be over and done with.
Yeah.
I'm not ecstatic to leave uni, but I'm also not angry about it.
Sort of content because you've done your time.
It's always been the case. We always knew 3 years and then you're done. And I've been in education my entire life. So.
Exactly. And you're going to be 21 soon, which doesn't seem, I say soon, but in like soon. 3 months. Yeah, so it's pretty, I don't know, it seems pretty unreal that Jacob Wright is 21. Because I've known you since you were about 10.
Yeah.
So more than half of our life. But so talk to me then. How do you feel, because you mentioned before about experiences on the course. Do you feel like those experiences have been, given? Because you've got the course itself, but then, like you say, no guarantees after the degree, but they do the best they can to sort of help you with that. So do you feel like you've sort of been, because obviously you're studying, what is the official name of the course that you're studying?
Film and television production.
So do you feel that they've sort of really put you in those environments that you would be having as a job after the degree?
They give us the skills we need. And when we leave, their main thing is you want to be able to have your foot in the door with whatever you can, because there are so many different roles that make up a crew, and not even crew, when you're freelancing, you make your own brand, you do branded content for the smallest companies, the biggest companies, whatever it may be. I think what they're most proud of is being able to give you people skills and being able to talk to people on a level that's human and relatable, but also calculated, because the industry is a game to play. It's not easy peasy. It's a hustle. And I've always been aware of that. The minute I told my mum and dad what I wanted to do, before I wanted to be a writer and, you know, go into the behind the scenes, I wanted to be an actor. And they never once sugarcoated that to me. They said, it's going to be tough. You're in for a bumpy ride. But I knew I wanted to be that since I was, I think, 7.
Yeah,
so I've spent all of that constantly career driven. And I've always been aware that it is hard work, and you either see it through or you don't. And a lot of people, unfortunately, don't.
Yeah, like you say, it's very difficult. And I remember being at sixth form with you, and you would do your short films. And I was in a couple of those for you. Yeah. And I thought at that point you were looking more towards directing. Was that ever a career path opportunity?
The directing is the dream.
Right, overall dream, yeah.
Right now, it's a hierarchy. And you've got to build your way up.
Of course. Yeah.
And when it comes to writing, I have a path that I want to lead after uni. I have kind of the puzzles. I don't know how they're going to fit together, but that I know my goals after I leave uni. And, getting a writing agent and, you know, putting in the work. You don't get respect by doing a couple of things and having a couple of projects and having a few credits. That you get respect by keeping on doing that, never getting comfortable. And all I want to do is be able to give out as many scripts, whatever anybody wants written, I want to write it for whoever, as small or as big as it is. And then eventually, you know enough people and you can prove your worth to say, right, I've written for everybody else in the world. Only I can direct this.
Yeah.
Only I can see this and execute this through. Because everyone wants to be, you know, the biggest director in the world. I want to have an Oscar and all this and all that. Yeah, it's the dream. And I am shooting for beyond the stars. And I always have. But I'm not naive to the harsh reality that unfortunately a lot of people fall to. And we say that uni... And not just to do with film, but anything creative, oftentimes they sugarcoat it, and it's like, yeah, you'll leave uni and then you'll freelance.
So when you say freelance, what entirely are we
Well,
talking about?
you're your own. You we leave and
Left to your own
your name
devices.
is your brand,
Yeah.
and you've got to do it all yourself, essentially. I have people that I'd love to work with in the future, people around me that we want to start a production company and do these things. But essentially, when you're freelancing to pay the bills and this and that, like, I know I'm going to still have a part-time job after I leave uni
Yeah.
for however many years it takes for me to be able to have a stable
Yeah.
income. And that requires a lot of work, not just physically, but hustling to get the work. It's not a case of, oh yeah, I'm going to do this on, well, Monday through Friday, this is what I'm going to do. No, it's a case, right, I'm doing this on Monday. Okay, what am I doing Tuesday? And it's a day by day kind of thing. You can get work for months, but
I mean, that's
it's
like the
tough.
great directors, though. They usually have their main success, well, not even the main successes, but they properly get into the industry when they're older than obviously 21, which is what you'll be. So,
I've always said, as long as it takes, whether I'm 30, whether I'm 40, whether I'm 50, as long as one day I have a series that I've been working on for the past nearly 6 years, since COVID, and I have plenty of other projects that I've written, but that series is not my life's work. But the minute I knew I wanted to be a writer, or kind of, I think I always knew I wanted to be a writer and create and be behind the scenes.
Yeah.
But obviously, growing up, you see the film industry and you think acting. And then the minute I came to the realization, actually, I never wanted to be in front of the frame. I wanted to be the one framing it. I wanted to be the one creating these characters and these worlds. And all I want, and that's when my life began, when I realized, actually, this is what I want to do with my life.
So that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about writing scripts for, I'm assuming, screen. Ever theatre? I guess it's very different, isn't it?
I
So,
love theatre. I always have. I'm not a theatre kid.
yeah.
I'm not, I never really have been. But I do. I really appreciate the work that goes into it. I know it's cliche, Hamilton. I adore it.
Yeah.
I think it is great. I'm annoyed that I only came into it like last year. Shrek the Musical will always be my favourite musical, and I don't think any musical theatre person would ever say Shrek the Musical is their favourite
I haven't ever
musical.
seen it, to be honest.
I think it's absolutely class. But I'd love to write for theatre because there's so much more that you can do for it. I did actually start writing, Corpse Bride, Tim Burton, the stop motion, that I wrote for theatre because I loved it growing up, and then I realised this, you can do so many things on stage with this, especially with the lighting. You can do all these things on screen and edit it and that. But I've been in plenty of shows myself, and there is nothing like rushing around, hitting your mark, being you're on stage now, you're in front of hundreds and hundreds of people. There's so much pressure, but it's exhilarating.
Yeah,
I
to be
love
fair.
every minute of it.
So yeah, I mean that is true. And so when did it first come about then? Because like you say, you wanted to be an actor, and I don't exactly know what age that sort of left your mind, but I knew you were doing film and TV at sixth form, as well as the acting side that you were still doing. So when did it fully come about that you were like, yes, writing the scripts is what I want to go for?
I will always love acting and I will never say no to it. After I finish uni, I do want to be auditioning again. Anything to get me on a set, anything to get me to meet people. The industry's the industry. If I'm a gaffer, if I'm a runner, if I'm just someone who is standing on set doing absolutely nothing, I'm on set and that's my favourite place to be. And I'm okay with doing, again, whatever it takes to not even make my dreams come true for who I am now, but the little Jacob who always wanted that. That's all I want to do.
So it just, I get, yeah, like you say, I guess, I suppose anything. And but yeah, I mean, getting your foot in the door obviously is like you say, very important, being a runner or whatever. But I guess I'm also saying the actual writing in of itself, was that something that maybe as you became 16, 17, you were thinking, if I had to choose, the directing and the writing would be it? Because as a 10-year-old or as a 7-year-old, like you say, that you're not thinking that, like, oh, in front of the camera or the success. So when did that think, you know what, actually, more mature way of thinking, you could say, I want to be behind the camera.
It's hard to describe because there was never that moment of there was never the moment of, oh, this is what I want to do with the rest of my life. Yeah. It was a case of, this is what I've always wanted to do, but I've never been able to come to terms with it because I was in with the acting agency from the age of 8, maybe, and probably, no, 7. And with that, you build kind of a persona of Jacob the actor, like in class, in school, and even my family, you know, they always were like, any acting stuff coming up, or, you know, you're the actor in the family. I take it after my nan's godfather, who was like a massive actor in the 50s. And so there's that kind of pressure. And then it was like, you know what? It's not a case of, oh, now I'm just going to do this. It's a case of, now I'm going to tell everybody that I'm choosing this for myself and I'm not going to just go along with it. Because, like I said, I'll always love acting. And if I could get a career in it, I would never say no. And I don't think many people would. But I wouldn't be as fulfilled because I have stories to tell. And I've been telling them stories.
Yeah, so that's the bit there where it's like
that's it, is I have worlds that I want to build that I've been building ever since I had that kind of light bulb moment. And I just want to get all of that done in my lifetime.
I mean, your skills must be obviously very broad, because when I mentioned the short films that we did, it was the directing of it, but then it was the filming of it. And I guess that's still applicable to now, but then the acting as well. So how much does any of that tie into what you're sort of doing at the moment?
Oh, 1,000%, because the acting side allowed me to know what I liked, how I liked to be directed, and how I don't like to be directed.
Right.
And it really helps when you're able to commune and understand actors on that kind of wavelength, because even though I'm not the one in front of the camera, I know what it's like. And also, I know how to make... My main thing when I'm working with actors is to make sure that they know they have trust in me. I know their character inside out. I know their character better than anyone ever will. However, that doesn't mean they can't take as much liberty as they can, because at the end of the day, I owe it to them. They're the ones giving me the gratitude of being, of portraying these characters.
Putting your characters into life, I guess.
All I can owe to them is let them do their thing, because there's nothing more annoying when you could be working for the best project in the entire world. It could be Spielberg's movie. But if you're being told how to react in every situation throughout that, why give me the role? Why not just pick someone up off the street and just direct their every move for it?
Yeah.
You hire someone for a reason. Let them prove that reason to you.
And they could potentially bring their ideas not to the table, not in an overpowering way.
Oftentimes, they're the face of it.
Exactly.
You know, it's my words that they're saying, but it's the way they say it. It's the mannerisms that make up them characters. And I think of my characters' mannerisms. I see them visually. I know every detail, all the little things they do, what they eat, and all those tiny little bits of aspect that I've never had to write down, because I know these characters like they're my friends, because for a time, they were my friends. They were what I needed. They were my escape. And had it not been for my, you know, years of attempted acting, obviously I did my commercials and stuff, I wouldn't have any of that. And it does give you a certain advantage, because as well, trying to be an actor, you learn how the word no is actually, that's okay. If you're rejected constantly back and forth, that's okay.
If anything is expected, and that prepares you more for the whole industry.
And even though it's not, you know, with the film industry, it's not like you get an email saying, yeah, sorry, no. But you are prepared to fail repeatedly. And I'm okay to fail as often as it takes. I'm happy to do that. That's part of it. That's part of the journey. And that, in the end, is what will make it all worthwhile.
So why, well, you almost said why Edge Hill? I don't know, you're not at Edge Hill, but there was that sort of debate when you first came down to Liverpool, which uni was the one for you. Was it always being in Liverpool that was your main city for a start?
No. So the uni I'm at the minute, they have a campus in London.
Yeah.
Not an actual campus, but they have a facility there. And it was, we'd visited Edge Hill, York, all loads of different ones. And then my mum literally was scrolling on laptop. She was like, we might as well go to Liverpool, see what they have. And she found the uni I'm at the minute. And I was like, oh, not really interested. And we went to the one here and we're like, oh, right, okay, let's see what the one in London's like. Went to the one in London. And the education was exactly the same. The teaching exactly the same, the curriculum, all of that. The only thing that would have been different would have been the lifestyle. And
the cost, probably, for cost, a personal
yeah,
stuff.
Exactly, the cost of living, the nightlife, because I'm not a perfect student. I've been on my nights out, I've been on my benders. But those experiences are what make it. And as much as I've enjoyed the uni itself, I wouldn't be as good as I am now had it not been for all of them, you know, drunken nights, or not even just them, but, you know, the nights where you do feel alone and you're missing home and stuff. I'm here for a reason. I'm not home. I'm not back in Blackpool for a reason. So I might as well make my time here worthwhile, because it was never a thing against Blackpool. It was just, there was no opportunity there. And unfortunately, Blackpool does lack opportunities. And as hard as it might have been for my mom and my friends and that, they only want the best for me. And I knew the best for me wasn't to stay there. I always knew after college, I was going to be leaving Blackpool.
Of course, yeah.
And my parents were never going to hold me back from that.
So what is the official name of your university then?
LMA.
So what's that short for?
Love Media and the Arts.
Because the only thing I know about LMA is through you. Mm. Because I know there are other, I know there's John Moores University, and that's a theatrical university, isn't it? Like a performing arts university.
It's not like solely creative.
Right.
LMA's the only one around that is creative, but with different aspects. So you obviously, like I said, we have music and musical theatre and gaming and stuff. You have other ones. There's SAE, which one of my closest mates, he went to. It was 2 years, condensed course, and that it's just one building and it's solely film based. Looking back, I wish I'd known that as an option, but those, they're the ones that go under the radar, unfortunately, because things, you know, John Moores and the university, Uni of, they're the two main ones. And I've never, like, 2 years in accommodation, none of my flatmates were at my uni. They were all either John Moores or Uni of.
Oh, okay.
Apart from one of my closest mates who was at SAE.
Right.
It just so happened we were both doing a similar course.
Yeah.
And now he's, because it was a 2-year condensed course and he's my age, he's out in the world now doing all of that. Waking up at 5 a.m. going to Leeds to film stuff, which a lot of people find that really daunting. But I can't wait to be doing things.
Yeah, like exactly, that. Yeah.
And, you know, I'm having my car here and everything. It really does help. Because the first thing they all the tutors asked us when we got to uni was, who here drives? All of us, the ones of us that did put our hands up. And then they were like, right, all of you who didn't put your hands up, get your driver's license.
Yeah, but I mean, a car, the insurance of a car.
I know, but it's a brutal truth that you need to travel for these things.
Oh, yeah, for the overall. Yeah.
In the end, and they said that. They said that not to make it, you know, oh God, no, now I need to go get my driver's license. That was probably one of the brutally, brutally honest things they've said.
I mean, it's good to motivate them though, because it doesn't necessarily mean they have to have a car right now, but to have the license and to get it out of the way.
But to kind of think, oh, because some people go through life and they never intend on driving.
Yeah.
And especially moving to a city like Liverpool, you don't need to drive. I don't need to drive. It's, you know, weighing up, do I need my car here? Do I not? Because I always get the bus to town, but I went to Farmageddon the other week and I've been able to drive across the water and around. And when I do leave uni and I'm going to have to be traveling for these things very last minute, I'm not going to be spending 30 quid on a train when my petrol's already topped up for 20 quid. You know what I mean?
That's true. So what would your sort of words of advice be then to people that are sort of wanting to go down your route then? Of sort of filming TV. Maybe what would your words of advice be to a younger Jacob who's in this industry? big questions.
It is, yeah, because I don't have any advice for my younger self because I wouldn't change a thing. Moving to Liverpool was the best decision I ever made. Going to the uni, though it has its, things that, maybe I've been disappointed with or some things haven't lived up to expectation, I've met the people I have who will still be here after uni and we're all going to help each other. That's why I think being on creative courses, especially film, probably one of the most tight-knit like classes and group of
Groups, yeah.
people ever, because you're constantly working together. And yeah, it has its downsides because people get too close, and sometimes the boundary of professional and personal at uni gets broken, and sometimes that's of no one's fault, it just happens. But what we the main thing we have to learn is that doesn't fly when we leave. When you leave and you're going into the industry, you can't have any of that. So I think if I was to give myself advice in first year would be maybe be more aware of we got to be more professional in uni. But I've learned from the mistakes and I'm aware of it now, so I don't need to tell my younger self anything because I am aware of it now.
Good. And I guess that's worth any loan as well, because the loan is for the uni course and the facilities and all that. But if you can make the most out of it and know that you have an amazing group of people that are going to be with you after uni, then that's a
Exactly.
big win.
The pros always outweighed the cons. The minute I finished first year, I sat down with my parents and I was like, it might have had some of its downsides and it might have its downsides in the future, but I've had a blast.
Yeah. And
And
that's interesting because I did a video about the pros and cons of uni, like you just said. And I said the cons outweigh the pros because I'm talking about, obviously, number one, my personal experience, but I'm talking about the longer picture. But like you say, if you meet the right people, and I met some fantastic people, but if they can then help you with what you really want to do and you know what you want to do, then that's like 10 pros in one, I suppose.
But a lot of people, our generation in particular, are very like that, thinking about the long run, think about the bigger picture. From primary school, I was just waiting around for high school. In high school, I was just waiting around for sixth form. In sixth form, I was just waiting around for uni. I was always constantly looking forward to what was next. I can't wait to be in the industry and, building a career, building a portfolio.
But that's a form of thinking in long term, though.
I've always been an overthinker and I've always planned everything to a T, which is crazy that I've chosen this industry because you can't plan this, you can't plan anything to do with this. But I don't, I'm the minute I finished first year, I said, you know what? I've learned so much this year. I'm never doing that to myself again. I'm never wasting years waiting for the next thing. And our generation really struggles with it because we have phones, because we're expected to have everything right in front of us all of the time. We expect the world to, constantly look forward because we're aware of everything that's going on in the world now. All we can think about is the future. But I am at a point in my youth, because I'm still young, I'm not an adult. I openly say that yes, I'm 20, but I'm not wisdomous. I have no wisdom to give. I don't believe young people can, because no matter whether you're the best person in the world or the worst person in the world, whatever stage in your life, time is the greatest gift to anybody. And I'm 20. 20 years is not enough time for me to be able to say, yeah, like you should do this with your life or anything of the sort.
Well, there was parts of that that I did agree with quite a lot, because like you say, with our generation, they do, I guess, sit around and they anticipate something will happen, or they know it's going to happen, and like you say, they wait around. But that sort of long-term thing, I guess, is something to strive towards, but that can only be positive if the person actually does strive towards it. So
At the
if
end
you
of the
are doing,
day,
then
I've always tried to live in the moment. It's almost impossible to always do
of
that.
course.
I'm always thinking ahead, but I do my very best on a daily basis to maintain control in the day because you can't control what will happen next. I have no idea what's going to happen next month. I have no idea what's going to happen next year. I have no control, no say over whatever happens.
Well, I think that's definitely applicable with university as well.
Yeah,
Like I said, you're on the bus, expect the unexpected.
no one likes the aspect, but you no one's guaranteed to be around forever. No one's guaranteed to be in the same place. Something really awful could happen after uni. I might have to go back to Blackpool. Everything's put on hold. So why bother worrying about that? Right now I'm not ready to leave uni. But when May comes around, I will be. But right now I'm just trying to live in the day. I'm not thinking past bonfire night, to be honest.
Well, this video is being filmed on the 30th of October, guys. It's going to come out on the same day. But yeah, it's a positive thing. I remember watching the Last Dance with, you know, Michael Jordan. Is always present, always in the moment. And I suppose when you are in those industries that have that pressure on them, you think, right, well, you think about a long term. I mean, obviously I'm not in university, so I probably see it a bit different to you, but you get through it day by day, like you say. Yeah. And obviously university definitely expect the unexpected.
You have a lot of responsibilities at uni. Yeah. And I think a lot of people do say, oh, people just go out and get pissed every weekend and do this, do that. But everyone is just trying to do their best. They wouldn't be at uni if they weren't trying to do something, whether they like the course, whether they just did it to be easy or whatever. They're doing it for some kind of reason, whether that's self-growth or not. It's everyone's first time living, let alone living on your own, surrounded by people you've never met before. I moved here, not a single person from Blackpool, apart from one person in my year. No one in the flat, no one else I'd ever met on a night out. I've never met someone on a night out from Blackpool. But that's the best thing, because like I've said to you before, you meet people, you meet such a good group and bad groups, but they're the ones that you realise, oh, you can leave them behind. It's not high school anymore. If you don't want someone in your life, you cut them off. It is as simple as that. Like, yeah.
Mm. It's just very interesting to do these episodes just to hear, because people go through different things at different stages, which causes them to have these opinions, because somebody might turn around and say they had that sort of light bulb moment of thinking, oh, I should live like this, maybe before or after joining university. Yeah. But like you say, it's been a few personally completely leaving Blackpool behind, which I totally understand.
And I didn't find joy in leaving Blackpool behind. I didn't find joy in, you know, not being able to see my mates every day, not being able to have a nice Sunday roast from my mum. But what I do find joy out of is knowing that I've built myself a life here from nothing. I'm so appreciative that I got the opportunity to go to uni, because in Blackpool especially, there's a very low percentage of people that end up going to uni.
Hmm.
Because I am so appreciative of that. Yeah.
So what's after May then? I know maybe once again you're talking about not long term, but there has to be some aspect of thinking. Yeah. What's going to happen?
I'll be juggling a part-time job.
Yeah, I know in that. Liverpool.
Yeah, I'm not naive to that. I think people who do think, oh, you're just going to go straight into it. I'm in no rush as well. I'm in no rush to go full speed ahead.
That's sensible.
Yeah,
sensible.
I've been in education my entire life.
Yeah.
Once I leave uni, I'm on my own, and I want to try and enjoy that while also hustling the part-time job, you know, being on all the sites that you need to be on to be informed when there's a shoot going on, wherever that may be. Ideally, I wouldn't be driving to London every day, but if that's what it takes, that's it. But Liverpool is really on the rise when it comes to the film industry.
Yeah, and obviously living in Liverpool, so because it's not going to be, I guess what I'm saying, and I already know your answer to this, but it's not going to be like, let's go back home. It's going to be continue here, and I think for a lot of people it probably will be, because maybe going back home would feel like a step backwards for a lot of people.
And it would for me.
Yeah.
It would throw a lot of things off track, because it wouldn't be a case of I'm going back to my old life. It's a case I'm leaving this new great life that I've got here behind. And I'm not ready to do that yet. I'm not going to be in Liverpool forever. Might not be in England forever. But I can't think about that. I used to always say, yeah, I'm going to end up in America. Bingo. Done. All questions answered. I'm going to be in America in a mid-century modern house in the middle of the woods. Dream, but also you never know. And
the reality fact.
I never thought I'd be in Liverpool. I always thought I'm going to London for uni. Ravensbourne University, I looked at, obviously LMA London. I always saw myself in London. I'm in Liverpool, and it was the best decision I ever made.
Well, it's been a very interesting episode, Jacob, that's for sure. Yeah. And do you have any final words?
Sorry for yapping.
No, it's literally not yap, otherwise.
I know, I go on tangents, but I hope that all of this
informative,
is informative.
Yeah, yeah.
Even, you know, I'm saying, off the path, but, you know, we can still see it. So good luck editing life.
But that's the thing. I don't even think we're going to need much edit. And that's the point. I always say these episodes are pretty raw,
yeah,
and you know it's a good episode, yeah, when it flows like that. So thank you very much for coming on,
thanks
Jacob.
Thanks for having me. It's been a long time coming.
Yeah, it has been.
It's been a privilege.
All right, cheers, bro. And I'll see everybody maybe next week, or definitely on a Thursday, with another guest. Farewell.